Coffee at Tech Takeout. This is episode 121. I am Mindy Carney, and I'm joined today by my official co-host, Gina Rogers.
Hello. Hello. I think we could just drop official co-host. It's been a year, and
no,
almost...
I like you to stay in your place.
Okay.
I'd like to remind you that you're...
Let me know that I'm always,
I mean,
you know...
It can change at any time.
It can change at any time.
Just cut you out.
Yep. I was trying to think of like when Regis and Kelly, when Regis stopped being on, and there was like a bunch of different...
Yes, revolving door.
So it's kind of like you're Kelly and I'm whoever might show up that day.
But you just keep coming back.
I do.
I need to lock the door.
Well, you need someone to edit this podcast.
That's right. Yes. That was... Yes. Thank you. Thank you for your hard work, Gina Rogers. All right. So in the spirit of March Madness, we are returning to our second episode. If you listened to the previous episode... Gina had this awesome idea of bracket play with the AI world. So our last episode, we shared 8 tools within 4 different categories of productivity, communication. I should say productivity and communication, lesson planning, scaffolding, and then assessment and feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we narrowed down those 8 tools into 4 to put in a head-to-head episode this time around.
So it's the final 4, baby.
It is the final 4. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But first of all, how about them Hawks?
I know. Speaking of final 4.
I know. No. So the Iowa Hawkeye women are in the final 4.
Yep.
Game on Friday night, 8 o'clock. Well, 8 o'clock our time.
8 o'clock our time. Yep.
We're so excited.
We are so excited. And I will say, like, that LSU-Iowa game was so much fun to watch.
It was so fun to watch.
So much fun to watch.
Yes.
Like, just the caliber of basketball.
Yes.
Like,
Flagey Johnson. Yes.
She is incredible.
She is incredible.
She is just, like, I think she's just amazing.
Yeah.
And, of course, Angel Reese was great, too.
Of course, yeah.
She was awesome as well.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it, too. I played basketball when I was a kid, and it's just, like, it's so fun to see women's sports get what I have always felt, you know, was – I don't know. They just are getting the attention that they deserve. Women have always played just as hard as men. And so it's super exciting. Yeah.
Just as hard as men.
Yeah.
And it's just, like you said, just as exciting. It's
just
like
exciting.
So much fun to watch.
Yeah.
So
our next episode is going to air after the Final 4. So we won't look it in the eye and jinx anything, but hopefully we have some more good basketball to talk about.
Yeah. It will actually air after the final.
No.
Yep.
Oh, it will?
Yeah.
Okay. Gina's in charge of the...
I'm the one who edits it and actually puts it out into the universe.
Yes, thank you, Gina, for all your hard work. Have I already said that once?
Yes. Not all heroes wear capes. Some edit podcasts.
That's right. Okay. All right. So let's get into it here. So with our 4 tools, in case you, like I said, didn't listen to the last episode, we have Ghostwrite is going up against School AI, and then we're going to put EduAid up against Brisk. We did share some information about those 4 tools last time, and we decided that this time we would add thoughts about how to share that with your students or how to use it with students, and then also any additional features. So last time we just shared the features that kind of fell into those core categories, and so today we're going to kind of open it up and share other category or other features that those tools might have.
Sounds good. Okay, so do you want to kick us off with Ghostwrite?
I sure will. Okay, so Ghostwrite, if you don't remember or have not heard of it before, is a tool within your email. It could be Gmail, Outlook, or Zendesk. Still not sure about that. And then it is an email composer of sorts, so you can choose your tone. You can choose how long you'd like it to be. There are some, you get 15, some limitations, I guess. You get 15 emails a month, or you can purchase it for $10 a month, unlimited emails. So if I'm looking at this one again, if I'm thinking about how to use it with students, it is an 18 and up, so technically students shouldn't be using it, but teachers could use it with students to generate exemplar emails or to compare 2 different types of emails, I suppose, with the tone. So if you wanted to talk about a professional tone or a personal tone, you could have some exemplars and then have kids kind of compare and contrast those 2 things. But it would still have to be teacher-generated, so, you know, not for students to use. And there really aren't any additional features with it.
no additional uses.
Yeah. I think we alluded to this last time. Like, it was really strong in the category that we placed it in last time, but that it falls short as far as any additional uses.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it is an amazing 100-meter sprinter.
Yes.
It's not going to win the decathlon.
It is not.
Unfortunately.
No. Right. That is correct.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. I guess the one that I'm bringing to the court.
Yes.
Heavyweight.
Heavyweight champion. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Number one seed.
Yeah.
In its bracket.
Yes. That's right.
Is School AI.
Right.
Okay. So last time we talked a little bit about the fact that it is free for teachers to use. There's a freemium account. Mm-hmm. However, there is like a district or school purchase plan. You can schedule a call with them to talk that out. For integrations, you can download copy things.
Yep.
As far as student use, this is where I feel like School AI really is a juggernaut, because you can create the sidekicks for students to interact with. And so you can feed the AI specific rubrics or material that you want it to be versed in, mm-hmm. and then have the students interact with that particular AI chatbot.
Right.
You can also have students utilizing some of the pre-made spaces. And mm-hmm. so if they have spaces that are developed for famous characters, like, for example, Amelia Earhart or whatnot, mm-hmm. students can just jump into those spaces and interact with those pre-created characters, which is pretty fun. Mm-hmm. As a teacher, you can monitor the interactions that the students are having with the AI chatbot. And so you can get an idea of if they're trying to get the AI to do too much for them, if they're feeling frustrated, maybe they're not even sure how to interact with the AI, and so they just haven't been doing much. And so it gives you a lot of information on how to move forward with your instruction after you have the kids interact with that particular AI chatbot. There's also some different exit tickets, things like that, bell ringers that can be used with students as well.
Mm-hmm.
Students don't need any accounts, so that's a really nice feature that they just go in there with a link.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to those features that students can use as a teacher, you have access to tools to create rubrics or text leveling or different performance tasks, syllabus. There's also a fair number of chatbots or assistants that are built in there to help you with different teaching tasks. Like, so for example, there's a co-teacher assistant that's in there, and I just had a conversation with this assistant around thinking a little bit about our transitions from specials to math block, because they are a little hairy right now in my imaginary classroom.
Sure.
And so the AI like popped out seven suggestions about being prepared, gives me an outline of what that looks like, creating this routine, have engagement right away for the students to do as soon as they walk in the room to get them excited to come back and get going with math, visual audio cues, so on and so forth. So then I was like, hey, give me some more ideas about those engaging activities to get them going right away. And it pops off like warm-up math puzzles, interactive math journals, math talks, and gives me just a quick descriptor of what those types of things might look like.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
These are like really good ideas. So I think that this one is just the bee's knees.
I know. It is.
It's awesome. It's the Caitlin Clark.
It is the Caitlin Clark.
Of
AI. Of what? Of the Final Four?
EDU AI tools, maybe.
Okay.
That's what we'll say.
Yeah, I would say School AI definitely, I mean, blows Ghostwrite out of the water here. So many great features. And I really do like the idea of students not needing accounts to log into this and still having the benefits of all of these great features, because we just don't see a lot of that, you know, students can use these AI tools under 18. So I think that's pretty fantastic. So School AI wins.
School AI into the finals.
Into the finals. All right, so that puts now EduAid and Brisk up against one another. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I can go first.
Okay.
All right, so EduAid freemium, you get 15 generations per month, and then there are some different pro accounts, so $6 a month for a personal account, and then there's school and district accounts as well. So that's kind of how that pricing structure is broken down. There's no integration, so you always are going out to school, or I'm sorry, to EduAid to do your work or whatever. It doesn't sit in Google Docs. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sit in Gmail or anything like that.
Right.
So that's kind of just something to keep in mind. As far as student use, not really any student use. This
right.
is definitely a tool that is 100% designed for educators to produce content and to like kind of lighten their load.
Right.
With regards to instructional design.
Mm-hmm.
As far as additional features that we didn't focus on last time, there's lots of different informational objects that you can create. There's planning tools in there, independent practice generation tools, mm-hmm. cooperative learning tools, gamifications, questions. So a lot of different options that are built in there.
Right.
I do think that some of the stuff that it generates is really good.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's designed only with teachers in mind
sure.
does give it a little bit of a little bit of a pause.
Yeah, sure.
Moving that one through the bracket.
Yeah, right. Okay. So that is going up against Brisk. Brisk is, once again, has a freemium. This one is a little bit tricky because it's only for district purchase, so you can't pay for an individual license, but there are free features that just a teacher can use. It works with Google Docs, and Google Slides too for free. Does he use
Forms?
Google? Forms.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so with student use, this one is kind of interesting. So we were trying to figure out, like, you know, could students use this for their own personal feedback? Could they put their writing in and have it generate feedback for them? And so we looked up what the student use terms are, and they were interesting. So it said that students under 18 can use Brisk Teaching. However, the educational institution that they are associated with has to reach out to Brisk to authorize those accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So really aren't supposed to be making personal accounts mm-hmm. with Brisk. They are supposed to be tied to an education domain of mm-hmm. some sort.
Yeah. And I believe it is even restricted in that under 18. So it's 13 to 18.
Oh, it's 13 to 18.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's something to think about. I mean, its intended use, I think, is still for teachers to use to provide feedback and some other things, which we'll talk about. But it is something to think about that if you were interested in messing with that a little bit, that it has the possibility. There are just a few loopholes that you need to – loopholes? Probably not. Hoops?
Hoops.
Hoops to jump through mm-hmm. to make that legal. So in addition to Brisk, we talked a lot about it generating this really great – what I think is really great feedback. I was really impressed with the feedback. Some additional features that it has, though, is that it can create different types of content on the fly. So it'll create quizzes for you, decodable text, lesson plans. It can re-level text, which is really amazing. And this is something I hear from teachers a lot right now, is that they really want to know whether or not students are using AI to generate work. And so they're trying to think of all kinds of ways that they can check to see if students are creating original content or if they're using an AI tool to generate it and send it off to be graded. And so Brisk has this really cool feature called Replay. And so you can, it's kind of like revision history, but mm-hmm. in fast forward. So if you're not familiar with it's version history now, I should say. It used to be called revision,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So version history, you can go back and step by step kind of watch the work unfold in front of you it's kind of time consuming to do that if you wanted to watch it step by step. But so replay will kind of put that in fast forward. So some things you could watch for would be like copying and pasting of big chunks of text, mm-hmm. things like that. So it's something to think about if you're really worried about that in one piece of work that a student maybe has submitted to you, that could be something that you'd want to take a look at. Mm-hmm. But this tool has a lot of stuff. I mean, even some of the things I looked at that I didn't even know, because I kind of got back in here, I was like, oh my gosh, it has an email writer. It has a newsletter generator. The problem with those things is that they are all within the district license. And so I don't know what those things look like, but I sure am interested. Mm-hmm. I'd love to know what those things look like. But that's one of the problems with it, is that it has to be a district license that you pay for. So lots of cool features, just a lot of things behind a paywall. So what do we think about this one?
I don't know. I
don't know either.
I really like the feedback.
I do too.
In this one.
I do too.
And I do think there's a lot of things in there that are usable, that are within the personal.
I agree. Account. Yeah.
And I do really like that replay feature being just native right in that particular tool or that particular extension. So I don't know.
I also think, I know this is not how this works, but if you were to put School AI and EduAid next to one another, mm-hmm. I think School AI beats out EduAid because they're kind of in the same category. Like it's a mm-hmm. lot of planning, instructional planning, things like that. So if we already have something within that category, would it be better to do something that's just a little bit different and have Brisk win this one?
Let's do that.
Yeah, so Brisk up against School AI for our championship round?
Yes.
Okay. So that will be episode 122, right?
Yep, 122. Yes.
Okay. So that'll be coming to you soon after the championship game.
Yes.
That's what Gina's looking at me like, geez, get it together, lady. So we're excited to kind of go through those things again, maybe pull out some other things that might be of interest to you and put them up head to head. But until next time.
This has been the EdTech Takeout. We hope it hit the spot.